We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to the first episode of Untangle 2021, and Happy New Year from all of us at Muse, the Brain Sensing Headband, and Meditation Studio, the 5-Star app. I'm Patricia Karpus. If you're ready to deepen your meditation practice or learn to meditate, check out Muse at choosemuse.com. The new Muse S is designed to help you sleep better too, so we're hoping this will fuel a healthier new year for all. Today's guest is one of our all-time favorites, Dr. Elisha Goldstein. Elisha's a psychologist, author, speaker, and the co-founder of the Center for Mindful Living in LA. He's also one of our top teachers on Muse. I chose Elisha as the first interview of 2021 because of his new Life Shift program, designed to help us make more graceful and lasting transitions and life changes this year. In the interview, he talks about the messiness of change, the importance of connecting with our hearts and minds, visualizing what we want to change so that it really sticks, understanding the reality of our interconnections with others and how this helps or hurts us, and building our emotional vocabulary so we're able to better understand and communicate how we're feeling. There's lots more here to help us feel change this year, and no New Year's resolutions needed. Now, here's Elisha. Elisha, I am so excited to have you back on Untangle. We missed you so much.
It's great to be here. Always love to be here.
Yeah. First, I want to just start with a personal question, which is, how has your year been? I know we're closing out this year now, and this interview will be one of the first of the new year. And I just want to know, how was 2020 for you and for your family and your work? And tell us a little bit about that.
We all live with representations in our minds, and we make representations of the people around us and people we know and we don't know, and representations of ourselves. And people typically think, when they see me as like a mindfulness teacher and author, psychologist in this space, that I must have it all together and everything must be peaceful around me. My wife and I lead these mindful family retreats, which were canceled this last year, and they think your kids must be like
perfect.
The model children. And I'd say it's been hard. We've been sharing the challenges with everyone else around us. It's been hard to be disconnected from our family and not get the physical embraces that we're used to. And it's been hard with all the cancellations. I have this fantastic 6-month program called A Course in Mindful Living that I launch every year. And that was going right in March. Boom. It's right when the height of COVID hit. And so we had to cancel the whole program. But the beauty of that is that we pivoted to open up this incredible space for the world called the Mindful Living Collective. And it's a place where people are gathering and learning and growing and sharing and connecting. And that's been really a beautiful thing. And so sometimes within the difficulty and the challenges that we're experiencing, having three young boys at home, online in school, having a kindergartner at home, online in school, which is a really big challenge, there are some gifts that we can expand our mind to see. And it's important to hold the whole space. And I try to have that practice and have a whole lot of self-compassion and compassion as much as I can, remember to do so for myself and others during this time.
Yeah. Would you say that your self-compassion practice has been one of the most important ones this past year, or what have been the most useful practices for you personally?
I would say moving my body has been a very important practice of mine as far as managing the stressors that have come with this. And then I would say my practice of compassion as a practice that includes me and other people has been really important, because my life's work is, if I was to put an umbrella around that, is really about that. It's about recognizing that many of us want to live a better life, and what can I provide with the education and the resources that I have to support myself and other people in doing that same thing. And so that's certainly been a practice. Another really important practice of mine during this time has been one of trying to incline my mind towards more appreciation and gratitude. I recently befriended a wonderful man named Amit Sood. I don't know if you know him. He's in the positive psychology space. And
yeah, I've heard of him.
He's a really great guy. Maybe I'll have him on here someday. And he relayed this story to me because I was interviewing him, and he said he wakes up every morning and one of his practices is he thinks of his wife and he thinks of what he's really appreciative of her for. And I said, wow, that's a really great practice. Then you don't have to have a wife or a husband or kids or anything to do that. You can think of anybody that you have any connection with at all and do that type of practice. And he said, what that does, which is so in line with everything I'm all about right now, and we can get into that in a little bit. He said, what that does is that shifts the experience of the relationships that you have from one of transactional connection, which is what our brain does. It gets used to just people being things. Like I was saying, our brain organizes people and things and creates representations. And we just say that it kind of freezes people. And so we end up having its transactional connection to something he calls an affiliative connection, which is one that's warmer and sees them more as a human being. And you feel a greater sense of connection. Some of my life's work, starting in 2006, even when I published a study of the Journal of Clinical Psychology, found that connection is at the epicenter of well-being. And boy, do we need well-being nowadays. And when this comes out in January, we're going to still really need it.
We're still going to really need it. Yeah. What you're saying about connection is so important. And I think we've realized like how much the personal connection feels missing. But I think many of us have found alternative ways to connect that maybe aren't as fulfilling and satisfying, but certainly have meaning in them. And I want to get into a little bit, you were just talking about a better life. And one of the things that you're focused on now, which includes this idea of connection and interconnection, is your Life Shift program. And you talk about how we go through transition. And I think you call it this messy middle, but we're always dealing with transition, whether we're in COVID or we're in a winter season or we're transitioning in relationship or with children, we're always in transition. I really would love for you to talk about transition, and maybe we talk about it right now, how we all feel, what kinds of transitions are we dealing with, and then go through the pillars that you talk about and then the actual keys to making these shifts.
Yeah, I think that the way to frame this is that as human beings, we thrive on certainty. Certainty is really, really important because it tells our brain like I'm safe. And one idea is that we're here on a foundational level. Everyone can have their reasons why we may be here, what's the meaning and purpose of life, that kind of thing. But we do know that the more foundations, the biological foundations of us, we need to survive in order to continue to be on this planet as a humanity, as a species. And that means that we're on the lookout for uncertainty, because uncertainty means we don't have all the pieces. We don't know everything. So there could be threats around us that could make us feel unsafe. And so in times of transition is also a time of uncertainty. Whether it's a transition for a child from one school to the next, or whether it's a transition of someone losing a loved one or someone gaining a new relationship, or whether it's a transition of someone saying like, boy, I'm really going to make that decision and I'm going to get fit this year. There's transitions that we have, all kinds of transitions all the time. So our brain's balancing this sense of certainty and uncertainty. And when we get into a place of uncertainty, that's when there's a real opportunity. Because here's where we have to be able to be open to being okay with uncertainty, which is not going to be our default mode, and being able to investigate and be present with it and see it as an opportunity for change. And the change can really be positive. There's a lot of gifts that can happen in that change. And there are a number of pillars that we've been working on for a while in this space around personal growth and healing and transformation. And yeah, happy to go through those.
Before you go through them, I just landed on what you just said about the gifts of change. And I think it's so hard to see that when we're going through change. And do you think for someone that doesn't have a mindfulness practice or any kind of contemplative practice, when something really difficult happens, are there ways that you would recommend that we see these changes or difficult challenges as a gift?
I went on this retreat one time that was all about change and impermanence and things like that. The reality that everything comes and goes, everything shifts and changes. If there's one law or rule of life, that's it, except for that one. Because it's just right.
Exactly.
And so what I learned there was, and what I deeply experienced was that because of that, I can be more appreciative for things while they're here. And I was relaying that actually to someone this morning. And the first thing that they came up with was, well, that's really sad that everything changes. And there is sadness and grief, and that's also part of life. And so there's an opportunity there, even in the loss, the changes that happen with the loss, which many of us during this COVID time have experienced so much loss. It's almost like there's a really communal sense of it. And that's an opportunity to come together. It reminds me of the movie Inside Out, for those of you who have seen that or have not seen that, an animated movie by Pixar, really big blockbuster movie. And I think one that has a lot of value to it, where Joy, this was about a girl who, and all her emotions were anthropomorphized in her mind. And so the movie's really about these different emotions, joy and fear and disgust and anger and joy. Her job is to keep everything joyful. And there's sadness there. And she just sees sadness as a threat and doesn't see the value in sadness at all. And tries to keep sadness at bay because she doesn't want her handling the controls, because she doesn't want her to make this girl sad in any way, because that would be bad, of course. And what she inevitably finds is that sadness is necessary for connection. It brings people together. And in that togetherness, there's healing. And so I think that's what we found. I remember when COVID first began, all of a sudden I was running these live online workshops, and there was probably tenfold of the people that were normally there, because people were thirsting to come together. This is a real gift, a sense of realizing the need for connection that we have, and starting to make maybe a change in our lives to strengthen the connections that are there.
I like what you're saying about this communal change, our communal loss that we're all going through, and this opportunity to be more sad and vulnerable, and that invites more intimacy into our relationship. So maybe that's the gift.
Yes, intimacy and connection. And connection is really at the epicenter of well-being.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great. And this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now back to our show.
Yeah. in the talk I saw that you gave, which was really lovely. The first pillar is about how do we connect with our minds and hearts. And then you also, I guess maybe this is pillar two, you talk about how can we bring more love into our lives. So let's talk about pillar one, which is how do we connect with our minds and hearts? What is that process?
Remember, setting this up is about if we want to make a shift in our lives. Many of us are ready to make a shift in our lives from maybe 2020 to 2021. Maybe we just want to make a general shift in that direction. Maybe we see that we're ready to bring more meaning and purpose in our life. I realize that life is, no one has a crystal ball and says how much time we have or what we have. And that's not to be a downer. Maybe that is a little bit, but at the same time, it's like, it's so precious is another mindset we can have, which is how precious life really is. I have these moments and I want to shift my attention in a way that makes the best of it. Because all these qualities, these beautiful qualities live in every one of us. It's just that wherever our attention goes, it tends to invite a certain energy. Most of the time we walk around, we're not aware of this. We just go with the flow of life and we're not realizing that our attention is so important. And that's what came up in the movie, The Social Dilemma. And prior to that is like what an invaluable resource our attention is. So once we realize that, we say, okay, so I want to make a shift in my life. This has everything to do with my attention. So I need to create a foundation before I get that book to tell me like what the best diet is or to get that extra new exercise regime and just jump into that or before I say, I want to really start a meditation practice now, and I'm going to just get that thing and start the meditation practice. It's much more helpful to create a foundation so that you can set yourself up for success. And if it's time to make a shift in your life, if you're feeling called to make a shift in your life, or you're in the middle of a transition already in your life, you want to set this foundation. So where you want to start is starting to live from your mind and uncover your heart. And what that means, I'll break this down because this is really important. The first thing that we need to do is we need to settle into a space of just being awake, aware, and present. And that might not come to a surprise from people who are listening to this podcast because there's been so many fantastic different speakers or interviewees or people who have been speaking to the importance of presence on here in a variety of different ways and meditation and different things like that. And so we want to create that personal presence to just say, okay, I can train myself to step into that space between stimulus and response as a foundation to ground myself so I can be more aware of the choices and the opportunities before me. So I can not just fall into what my mind tells me I can't do, but instead I can see that as something that's arising in my experience. And then I can also hold what I can do and what's possible for me. That's what settling into presence allows for, that spaciousness to maneuver in different directions. Then what we also need to do is that's the first leg. Let's call this three legs of a stool to begin with. So the first leg is we have to develop some sense of presence before we jump into any new action to make that shift, right? And then the second thing is we really need to care about what we're doing. And by caring about ourselves and what we're doing, we can inevitably dial down the inner critic that's there, the doubter. It's interesting. I talk to people about this all the time and they say, I don't know if I can really do XYZ, whatever it is. I don't know if I can create that blog. I don't know if I can write that book. I don't know if I can do this exercise. I don't know if I can do these different habits. I don't know if I can bring them into my life. I've tried and I've failed. I've tried and I've failed. And I said, that's so interesting because there's a organization of concepts out there that stems from a Buddhist lineage, which are called the five hindrances. So I call them the five mind traps or whatever. We could secularize them. They're really just universal. Hope no one gets thrown off by that whole Buddhist thing. It's just mind traps, whatever. And I said, do you know what the number one mind trap is that's out there? And they said, what is it? I said, doubt. So I said, you're talking about, this is based on trillions of people's experience with this because it's throughout history. This is thousands of years old. And here we have these five hindrances and this is like doubt's like the number one one. So if you're feeling doubt, you're like part of the common humanity here. It's like, this is a very common thing. It's one of the five out of all the words that could be used as the hindrances of the world, doubt's the number one. So, I mean, of course you're experiencing that. So now what we need to do is we need to care about ourselves enough to begin to dial it down, work on dialing down that inner critic, seeing it for what it is, and learning how to embody our heart a little bit more. And so one practice I give them to do that. And everyone can try this. We're not going to do a guided practice right now, but you can try this on your own. You can either journal about it or you can just think about it. It's perfectly fine. But one way to really warm your heart is, and uncover a bit more joy even and healing through this, is to just to think back on your life. And this is perfect through COVID time too. And onto like a memory or two where you're really appreciative for that experience having happened. And just let it roll in your mind like a movie and allow yourself to just enjoy that memory. And as you do that, I dare you to try not to, if you stack one, two, three of those on top of each other, to not have a smile break out within your heart or your body or on your face. And so that's just kind of happens that way. And so that's how we encourage our heart. That's one just simple practice to do that. And so we want to get in the practice of that. And one way of dialing down the inner critic is just something I call recognize, release, refocus. And it's the three R's, really simple, which is just recognize that this inner critic is here. It's one of the number one hindrances or mind traps of life. And we release it through our body because it's an embodied experience. So you just take a deep breath and blow it out, or you shake your body, you move your body, you massage your body, you go on a run, you go on a walk. Just release it because it's an energy that's in your body and you have to release it in that way. And then you refocus by asking yourself the question, okay, what's good right now? What am I appreciative of right now? And so you're not doing anything Pollyanna there. You're recognizing the difficult thing that's there, and you're also now refocusing. You've now widened your awareness because you've connected with your heart and that sense of presence that we talked about before. So the third thing, and this is, remember, this is part of the first pillar, so we're creating this foundation right now for change. So again, before you pick up that book and decide to go do that thing for the new year, and this is how 2020 is going to be for me, I'm starting off this footer. If you've already started with this new habit, that's fine, but I really challenge you, if you want to make it a stronger foundation, to work on these first three pillars. And so the third thing is to now really visualize. So you want to identify what's possible. So we really want to expand our mind. The number one thing that we do and the number one mistake we make when we're trying to make shifts in our life or trying to make the shift that's happening in our life better is we just go to tools. We go to information and tools. And we just start saying, what do I need to do? And we start going in that direction before we build this foundation. But what we want to do is we want to take a moment to even just visualize what's possible. In other words, like, what if I did do this thing and I really made this shift in my life and I did it in a way that was optimal for me? And let's say I did it for a month or two or three. What's changing my life? What am I doing differently? How am I feeling, most importantly? And why do I say that? How am I feeling, most importantly? Because the emotional center of our brain is the one that needs to be convinced in order for you to have the motivation and energy to continue with the transition you want to make effectively or in a healing way. And all the marketing companies in the world already know this. That's why they try to create feelings in us to buy their products. So we can just do this to ourselves. So now we kind of visualize what's possible. We ask ourselves the question, how am I feeling? How am I going to feel when this happens? When I'm excited, when this comes to fruition? For most people, I feel like elated. I feel joyful. I feel so appreciative. And so allow yourself to visualize that and feel it at the same time. Expand your mind's notion about what is even possible for you. Break open the cobwebs, expand them out, and then visualize yourself there and feel the feeling that you would feel there. And this isn't even like my invention, by the way. This is just a synthesis in some way of the things that I've learned over the past couple decades of what is really most impactful for people in setting this foundation.
Yeah. And do you ever recommend that people do a vision board? Have you done a vision board?
I have done a vision board. I have. Yeah. I think that's really effective for people. That's great. But the difference is with this is I say the same thing with a gratitude journal. If you're going to do a vision board or if you're going to do a gratitude journal, a lot of people do those and they paste them and they have fun. They might do them in groups, but it's just content to them ultimately.
You need to feel it.
You need to feel it. So if you're going to do a vision board, put those images up there and those words up there, but visualize yourself embodying whatever those images or words are on your vision board. Take a moment with it. Do a little mild meditation with it, with your eyes open and just kind of or closed and just see it unfolding in your mind. See that vision board, because then that vision board is going to have so much more meaning to you when you see it, because eventually you'll habituate to the vision board. We all habituate to stuff.
So that is all part of the first pillar. The second pillar, you have said, is really the secret sauce. It's understanding the reality of our interconnections with others.
Absolutely. To me, this is the reason why most self-improvement programs or whatever with the best intentions don't have huge impact. And the reason is because human beings are social animals. We thrive on belonging. We thrive on connection. And connection gives us energy, inspiration, motivation, and disconnection leads to illness and tiredness and loneliness. And it just is demotivating entirely. And also the people we surround ourselves with make a big difference. And the connections we make with people around us make a big difference. I mean, think of this for a second. We might say, when we look at people, is it nature or nurture? Like the fact that they are XYZ, they're good at this or they act like that. But in general, we're kind of herd animals. Belonging is so important from an evolutionary perspective so that we can be safe in a tribe. And we look to the people around us and to our culture to influence, and this is not conscious, this is unconscious, to influence how we think, feel, and act. And so most important is the connection, but then we want to also think about who am I connected with and how is that influencing me? So the secret sauce is understanding the science of connection, the reality around it, the reality around from a behavioral economics or behavioral sciences background, how there's a reality behind cues and triggers and to influence how we think, feel, and act, and how there's a reality around behavioral contagion. There was an experience that happened many years ago where a teacher just all of a sudden got violently ill in her classroom. And then all of a sudden the students, one by one, start becoming violently ill and everyone rushed them to the hospital and everyone thought there was this huge virus going around. And little did they know, what they came to understand was there was no virus, there was no anything that happened. It was just a reaction of behavioral contagion. And then you see this also with in the areas of obesity, happiness, and loneliness. And so there's a reality behind people seeing other people acting a certain way or feeling a certain way, and you feel it. You might call that your mirror neurons, which are neurons in your brain that are seeing, that are trying to anticipate people's intentions, and then you feel or experiencing something similar to the what that person is feeling or experiencing. And there's many studies that go into that. But there's a energy that we get from meaningful human connection, and there's even a better energy that we get from surrounding ourselves with the people who are thinking and acting in the ways that we want to and we value. And so the whole second pillar is about this. It's about deepening into connection, understanding that, we need to do a social audit of the people that we're surrounding ourselves with or making connections with, to be able to ask ourselves the very simple and frank question, is this person feeding the change I want to see in my life? Are they feeding that in me? And just the very thought or a connection with this person. And then we can begin to curate a little bit, not to throw people out or anything, but there might be some people we need to let go or have less connection with. And we might need to move towards more connection with other people. That's the whole reason we created the Mindful Living Collective, is to collate these types of people as far as people interested in making more healthy shifts in their life and underneath the mindfulness umbrella, people interested in mindful living. And then we need to understand that communication is really important. And we need to understand that it's important to have a emotional vocabulary so we can be able to communicate how we're feeling when certain things happening. And it's important to understand what our needs are individually and what other people's needs might be.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping, available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
So we can open our eyes to having stronger, more clear connections with the people we care about or the people that are going to be supportive or inspiring to us. And again, this only deepens the underbelly of connection, which is really incredibly healthy for us. I mean, there's so many studies that point to how positive connections in our lives impact our neurobiology in significant ways. that then influence our positive emotions, then influence our perceived connection again. And the loving kindness meditation, which I know is on Muse, and I know there's probably a number of them and on Meditation Studio, that's been shown just alone to have an impact on neurobiology. So there's that. There's the communication piece of deepening the connection, checking out our social circles. There's the improvement of our communication by understanding our emotions and our deeper needs and being able to convey that within ourselves and within our relationships. And then there's the importance of learning how to forgive and let go and how that can really enhance, move us from disconnection to connection. That's the real overview, I would say, of that piece. And how critical it is to sustaining any change you want to make in your life.
I love this idea of expanding our vocabulary of emotions. I think it deepens our connections in such a beautiful way. But I want to get to the third pillar, which is also really important. And then I do want to understand, like in this course that you're doing, it's a 9-week course, the Life Shift course. I want to understand how you are going to be teaching all of this so that sure. If people are interested, they can know more. But will you talk a little bit about the rituals, the third pillar, and how we can understand our patterns and create new habits? Because I feel like this is so important for the new year as well.
So notice this for a minute, that most people and programs will start with something like this. What kind of rituals and habits do I need to make in my life right now to get healthier, to be happier, to make the change I want to see in my life, to overcome the grief that I'm experiencing, to any of this? It starts with this. And what this is doing is understanding the decades of experience of setting up this foundation and putting the engine in place, which is the meaningful human connection, to sustain the rituals now you're about to build. So that's the shift that comes up within the Life Shift program. But you can, again, anything that I'm saying right now, even if you're taking things and saying like, this is great, I'm going to do this, I'm going to practice with this. What I want to say is you can take all of this and experiment with yourself, anything that I'm saying right now. And I think you'll notice some shifts in your life just on your own. Even if you don't join the Life Shift program, that will be really supportive. But we'll talk more about that in a minute. So with the creating the rituals, habits, and momentum, so the first thing we want to do is, again, now we want to revisit with, now that we've set a sense of presence with ourselves, we've deepened into our hearts and expanded what's possible, and then we've now reformulated and strengthened our sense of connection, which is, again, going to be the engine to sustain the change. Now we're heading back and saying, okay, so now with this understanding, what are the reasons? First of all, what's my North Star again? I want to make sure that's the same as it was when I came into this process. Where do I want to go? What's possible? What's my North Star? What kind of change do I want to make? Do I want to, even if it's something like, do I want to lose 30 pounds? Or if it's something like, I want to feel more greater sense of meaning and purpose in my life. And that means having stronger friendships or having something I feel like I'm contributing to in this world, or whether that is moving through this grief in a way where I feel more fortified and a greater sense of healing on the other end. We need to know what that North Star is going to be. And then we have to know the reasons for that. So what does that mean? So the reasons for that means I need to understand why I'm doing this. Most people don't necessarily really unpack that for themselves. They just want to know, what do I want to do? This is my goal and I'm going to go after it. And they might have, because it'll make me feel better in some way, or I'll be in a better place in life. But we really want to unpack, like, why do I want to do this? What am I going to get out of it? And in this step, we want to allow ourselves to be super selfish and self-interested. Perfectly fine. That might seem like a bad trait in some way or a negative trait, but allow yourself to be that way. What are you really going to get out of it? Because you have to convince yourself that this really matters. And so we're going deep into this again, really asking, why do I want this change? We're uncovering clarity, and the why is going to give you the energy that you need for the road ahead. Because the next thing that happens is we run into obstacles. You get tired. I mean, is this ever, you can think about it, has this ever happened to you with any kind of shift you tried to make in your life? You get tired, or you get a stack of bills and that really bums you out. And so then you fall into an old habit, or maybe something happens, you experience a loss or a disconnect, and then you get thrown off. In the Life Shift program, we show this kind of change journey map, which shows that you first get excited and you're kind of a little high. You feel like you get energy and you're doing the kind of shift you want to make. And then what happens is there's a dip. So we have to see these dips as opportunities. These are opportunities. Our neurobiology is asking us, can you handle this? And if we start to move through it with greater self-compassion, let's say as an example, as an antidote, then what happens is we start to move from it, and it's says, not only can I handle this, but I can come out of it stronger. So we have that not as a mental note, but something that's part of our experience now. That's experientially. So that's logged in our brain as an experience, like, oop, obstacles can come my way. I can handle it. I'm going to be okay. And the more of that we have, the greater sense of resiliency that we start to bring in as a trait of our character, I would say. We want to be able to, in this plan, explore all the different obstacles that may come up, explore the antidotes that are going to be supportive. I think it was Henry Ford that said, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Something like that, if you prepare the other way around. The idea is that we want to look at the road ahead and see, what are the obstacles? What are the antidotes? And start to uncover that. And the number one antidote for me, as far as getting knocked down, is that antidote of mindfulness and self-compassion, so that I can feel more fortified and strong coming out of that.
You're reminding me of the first interview I ever did with you, when you were talking about celebrating mistakes, and you said, woohoo, when you make a mistake.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Yeah. So I borrowed that from Improv HQ, who I befriended years ago, which were a couple women who were doing improv. And they reminded me that you can really celebrate mistakes. And so when you do this, and you can try this, whenever you make a mistake, typically the first thing that happens is your mind gets self-critical, which is totally steals and rips your energy for moving forward. Instead, if you can shift that to throwing your hands up in the air and going, woohoo, then that could shift everything. First of all, that shifts your physiology. Everything opens up instead of closes down, even your vocal cords. And you're telling your brain, like, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. That's part of life. And now I recognize this mistake, and now I see it. It reminds me of another little formula that I have called forgive, investigate, and invite, which means forgive yourself for the past. There's nothing you could do about that. Investigate it, though. Check it out. Like, how did you stray from your intention? So you can learn from it. And now invite yourself to begin again with that new knowledge, because now you're more fortified than ever before.
Yeah, it's such great mind training, right? I mean, these are tools that can help you through any transitions, or anytime you feel stuck in old habits or unhappy in a relationship or alone. It's like having a toolbox with all of these different practical ways to manage your life. And when you talked about the messiness, I mean, this is such rich stuff for dealing with the messiness of life.
Yeah, it's never going to be just a clean thing. Messiness is part of being human. It's like my kids, when they're little, you want the kids to be messy. Maybe as an adult, you don't really like it, but the kids, it's important for them to get that tactile sensation and their brain. That's how their brain grows. And as adults, we kind of lose sight of that a little bit, and we think everything should be clean and neat. And if we can embrace that there's some messiness, and we're going to trip and fall and skin our knee, and then we can learn from that. Oh, next time I'm going to look out for that boulder in the road.
Yeah, and it's having a playfulness. You talk about having a playful attitude as we go through a lot of these things.
It's a critical thread.
Yeah. Critical thread. I'm reminded of that with my 7-month-old puppy that is constantly like having fun and wanting everything to be a game.
I have a 6-month-old puppy.
Okay, we have to compare after we share puppy stories. Elisha, thank you so much for all of this great insight, and I will share more information about your program after the show, your Life Shift program. But what are your, let's say, top wishes for the new year, for yourself, your family, the community, the world? What are your top wishes?
Sure. I can get to that question in 2 seconds. But let me say that it's after you do all the things that we've talked about, that you recollect your sense of values and beliefs and actions, and then you create a real roadmap and put your relationships in place around that roadmap, that's going to help you make that life shift more sustainable. And so most things, when we jump into them, we're like, okay, what do I need to do? And what's my map? But what I'm saying is, in a couple decades of experience that I have in creating programs and seeing in my own life, my own kind of failing and falling and succeeding in different ways, that these foundations of gaining that sense of presence, opening up to what's possible, connecting with your heart, and also putting your relationships in place, strengthening your sense of connection, comes first before your rituals and understanding your obstacles. And then at the very end, you create your roadmap, and you're doing it all along. And that's what's going to support the change you want to make in a more sustaining way. It's that order of things that's going to fortify the foundation you need for having a successful life shift in whatever you're going to do. And it'll make you way more successful on that path. And then I'll just say, with this program, what we're doing is the whole engine of it is meaningful human connection. So we go through the learning with each other, and we deepen it through a way of sharing and connecting through it while we're doing it, that helps us deeper integrate the learning for ourselves. So it doesn't just happen at a cognitive level. A lot of people like to pick up a book or pick off a program. And what happens is there's not a lot of change that happens. We need to embody this, and we do that relationally. And there might be some hesitancy around that, like, oh, I don't want to be with other people or something like that. But I would request that you take that risk, because in anything you do in life, by the way, not necessarily with this program, but that's how you're really going to integrate the change, is when you allow yourself to do it and share it and connect with other people around it while you're doing it. So my wish for this new year for everybody is for you to, and for all of us, to uncover and connect with, and I know this may even come off as cliche, but I want to even dip underneath that for a moment and recognize that the river that underlies everything is a river of love. It does seem to be the source. When we're connected with ourselves and with other people, or when we connect with a really good book, or when you connect with your puppy and you feel really connected, that's the feeling of love. And so my wish for everyone is to create a practice of love for yourself and for others in this next year, and for that to grow stronger and stronger within you, and for that to spark and have ripple effects across the people that you come in contact with, and they come in contact with, and they come in contact with. So much so that by the end of 2021, we like won't even believe what's possible.
I love that river of love. Thank you so much, Elisha. What a gift to have you on our show. I'm so grateful, and there's just so much wisdom here. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for doing what you do as well, bringing so many gifts to so many, and happy to be here again.
Thanks so much to Elisha for being with us today. For more on his Life Shift program, check out mindfullivingcollective.com. And for more on Elisha and his books and other courses, check out elishagoldstein.com. Any questions, suggestions, feedback, email us at untangle@choosemuse.com. And don't forget to check out the new Muse S at choosemuse.com and use your promo code MUSESTRESSLESS for a 15% discount. We are wishing a happy 2021 to all of you. We will see you next week. We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.